Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History Project 2. This is Eleanor Cohen and Rhoda Simon interviewing Mr. Nate Kaufman on May 1, 1978, at his home on Stanton Avenue. Mr. Kaufman, we'd like to begin this interview by talking about your immediate family. Will you tell us about your mother and father, where they came from, and so on?
My mother and father were born in Romania, but they met in New York in about 1906. They were married about 1909, and I was born January the 1st, 1910. My father lived in England for about 5 years before he came to the States, where he was a cabinet maker.
What was his name?
My father's name was Samuel, and my mother's name was Mary. Mary Feldman, that was her maiden name. And she came here with her sister, Fanny, when they were just young girls.
Your father, you say, was a...
My father was a cabinet maker, but when he came to New York, he was employed by Macy's. I think at that time he was earning about $12 a week, which was a lot of money in those days.
When did they come to Pittsburgh?
Well, they came to Pittsburgh during World War I. That was 1918. My father came first to take over a cigar store on the corner of 11th and Penn, because a cousin of ours, Philip Heimowitz, was going into the army. Unfortunately, that was a big flu year in 1918. He died in about a week after becoming ill, and my father took over that store then. Shortly afterwards, he brought the family from New York to Pittsburgh.
Now, let's go back a little bit now. We talked about your parents meeting and getting married in 1909, and you were born...
I was born January the 1st, 1910, although the records, when I went overseas in 1942-43, my birth certificate said January the 2nd. And when I asked my mother about it, she said, oh, no, she said it was January the 1st because they couldn't get a doctor. And the records indicated it wasn't submitted until January the 10th, so evidently some discrepancy there.
But you lived in New York then for your first...
Yes, I was born in Williamsburg, New York, and lived there until I was 8 years old, and we came to Pittsburgh in 1918.
And can you give me the names of your sisters and brothers?
Well, there were five of us. My sister, Mildred, and then coming after Mildred was... Arthur, who now lives in Phoenix, Arizona, and then Rose and Saul. Mildred, Rose, and Saul live here in Pittsburgh, and as I said, Arthur is in Phoenix, Arizona.
What can you tell us about your home atmosphere? Was it a religious home? And tell us about your family life as a young boy.
Well, it was a very pleasant life. We had a happy family. It was a religious home. My mother observed the religious the dishes and the kashrus and of course with the Passover and all of the other religious aspects. My father was the secretary of the Romanian shul up on Robert Street for many, many years. He was also secretary of the Gemilas Chesed. And so he was very close to the religious aspects of the community. When I was bar mitzvah at that time, I sang in the choir of the Romanian shul for a number of years. And of course, as I say, we Friday night at home with the candles always lit and so forth. Inside the home, it was always that way.
Now, where did you live when you first came to Pittsburgh?
Well, when we first came to Pittsburgh, my father had an apartment for us on Webster Avenue. I believe it was 1831. We lived there for a while. Then we moved to a very small street, which is called Shipton Street. And then I went to McKelvey School at that time.
What section of the city was Shipton
Street?
Well,
that's up on the hill, right across from McKelvey School. It's just one small, narrow street. It was a very quiet, lovely street, a family street. And then we moved again to below on Webster Avenue. And from there, we moved to Epiphany Street, right near the Epiphany, or the old Franklin School, Epiphany Street, which is no longer in existence since the renovation of the hill, and all those streets were cut off. That was right near Fullerton Street.
Would you consider yourself to have been fairly well off? Were you economically pretty secure, or were you not?
I would say we were middle class. Not upper middle class, but middle class. In 1922, my father got hurt, and my mother, being a very independent woman, went out and began to, she went down to Fifth Avenue to wholesale houses and bought a dozen unfolding bags, simulated leather bags, and went from house to house and became a peddler. And so for about 6 months, months before, while my father was ill, she built up quite a business of sheets and towels and going door to door. She wouldn't ask anyone, you know, for help. She was self-sufficient, and she made quite a good living. As a matter of fact, good enough to put my father into business on Clark Street in a little grocery store, because he had been in the grocery business here in Pittsburgh.
Were they strict disciplinarians, would you say?
No, they weren't strict disciplinarians. My father was very easygoing, and of course, I'm sorry about that. Perhaps he should have been a little stricter with me, but he was very easy with me. He was a very lovely person. I can't remember him really very often losing his temper. He was just an easygoing sort of a man, very industrious. And my mother was a very kindly woman, and she loved her children. And when she would go out peddling, she'd always make sure she had breakfast, so she was always home for lunch and always home for dinner. My father would get angry with her because at night if she had to go out and collect, he didn't want her to go out, you know, alone. And she'd always insist that he'd stay and watch the children, and she would get out, or I would go out with her. But we had a maid that came into the house every day, and she sort of took over while my mother was out. But I can never forget how wonderful she was, because of the things she did. I mean, a lot of women didn't dream of doing things like that.
You say your mother was ahead of her time in many
ways. Oh, yeah. She was very, very progressive. When she was a young girl of 17, she was a forelady in New York. You know, they had the old sweatshops there, and she was very adept in making buttonholes. And that's the kind of work she did. And when she was about 17 or 18, she and her sister Fanny and a cousin bought the equipment to show motion pictures in a rented storeroom there. And they were in the motion picture business, believe it or not. They rent films in the early days of filmmaking until they were stink bombed out of business by some competitors across the street.
Tell us about your school days. Both in New York, I suppose, we better begin there, and in Pittsburgh particularly.
Well, when I went to school in New York, I remember I came to Pittsburgh, I just received a pin. It's on one of our family pictures, and I lost it. I was so sorry about that. But I was a good student, and I came to Pittsburgh and went to McKelvey. And from McKelvey School, I went to Franklin, where I graduated. And then I went to Fifth Avenue High School. Very interested in drafting. I was very, very good at it. And I left Fifth Avenue High. I had a French teacher who was kind of rough with me. She used to say, "Monsieur, vous êtes un bouffe," which means you're an ox. And I didn't like that very much. We couldn't get along. She could have been much nicer to me. But it changed my whole life. It's strange what a teacher can do instead of being, you know, patient and kindly and encouraging. Anyway, I went from there to Ralston. It was called Ralston Industrial, which you probably never heard about. Mm-hmm. It was on Penn Avenue down in the Strip District, and I studied architectural drafting. I was an apprentice draftsman for the Pittsburgh Railways Company, And I designed some very odd kinds of equipment. And I designed a spray for, you know, the big steel poles. And I designed that, which was original according to them. And I did some other work. And then I did some work for the Board of Education in designing some tables for a drafting room. And then from there, I've taken work at the University of Pittsburgh.
When did you graduate from Ralston?
I didn't graduate from Ralston, no. I went until I was about 17, and I went to New York from there. I went to get a job in New York, and I didn't graduate, but I took courses at the Brooklyn Evening College in New York.
Well, you went to New York, when was this?
1927, in the fall of 1927.
It must have been 37.
1927, honey.
We were 17.
Oh, 1927, I was 17.
You're born in 1910.
1927.
20. Yeah. Excuse me, 1927 you went to New York?
1927 I went to New York, and I went to work for the F.W. Ward Company in New York on 137th Street. And
was there any particular reason why you left Pittsburgh at that point and went to New York?
Yes, there was a reason. Off and I'll tell you the reason off the record.
So you're in New York?
I'm in New York. I went to work for the F.W. Warren Company in New York. I was very good in the stock room. I had a very good memory for stock items, costs, and ship points of shipment. And I went from there to another store up near the Harlem. And then I helped open up another store in a period of maybe 5 or 6 months. I opened up another store on Fifth Avenue in New York City, Manhattan. But I met a fellow who was with David there, who went with the circus every year, the Ring of Brothers Barnum Circus. And he got me into the circus. So believe it or not, I was a circus in the Ring of Brothers Barnum Bailey Circus from April at Madison Square Garden for a couple of weeks, and then we hit the road, and I was with them for a couple of months, and they found out that I was underage and I had to leave.
What did you do there?
I was a pony groom, but I got to know all of the big stars in the show, Lillian Leitzel and Con Colino and Aerialis and the man who did a back somersault on a wire for the first time in the world. And Lillian Leitzel was a great aerialist. She dropped from the rope in Europe and got killed, and I knew all the freaks in the shows. And being a young kid, everybody I knew, you know, I got around to everybody. And I also got to know John Ringling, the famous John Ringling, because on the road they examined you, and the attorney and doctor said, "What are you doing in the show?" And I told him in New York, they said I could stay till we got to Pittsburgh and get my mother's permission. But in the meantime, I had gotten a letter which said it was all right for me to go, although she didn't know whether it was the best thing for me. And when they called me in, I showed the attorney the letter. He said, "Uh-oh, you can't go. Your mother hasn't given permission." And he said, "The only one I could okay you would be Mr. Ringling, and he wouldn't do it." So it was a smart, fresh, young kid from Pittsburgh. I stood around the entrance until I met John Ringling, and I showed him the letter. And he said to his right-hand man, he said, "This seems to be all right." And so I went back, and I was everybody in the show. You know, it's like a small city. And the fresh kid from Pittsburgh got over to see Mr. Ringling, and he said, "Okay." And about half an hour later, I get a call to see the attorney. He said, "I'm sorry, son, but Mr. Ringling didn't understand that if you got hurt, we would be liable." So I went back to see Mr. Ringling, and he patted me on the shoulder and said he was sorry. So in the meantime, I had to leave the show, and I stopped off in Philadelphia, where I went into a hospital. I heard one of the boys talking about being a hospital orderly, so it was my year off, so I went in and I got a job as an orderly at the Hahnemann Hospital in Philadelphia. And
what hospital is that?
Hahnemann Hospital, Philadelphia, in 1928, and I was so interested in that, I thought maybe I'd, you know, come back to Pittsburgh and go into medicine, you know. But I've seen almost every kind of an operation. The amphitheater at the Hahnemann Hospital, which was a homeopathic hospital, and was just changing over. But when I came back to Pittsburgh, I went to Emma Farm as a counselor through Mr. and Mrs. Teller. And then I got a job with the the Woolworth Company again. And from there I went to Frank and Cedars, the old Frank and Cedars. Remember Frank and Cedars?
Yes, indeed.
And then from Frank and Cedars, I went to the Ike's, where I was employed as assistant athletic director and swimming coach. And that was in August of 1928. In 1929, January of 29, I met my first wife, Sarah Zappler, who lived on Cliff Street. She had three sisters and four brothers. We became engaged January 1930. Married on June the 1st, 1930. And we were married 47 years before she passed away in April of 1977.
To go back a little bit now to your days as a teenager, you were a healthy boy. Did you have any medical problems at all?
No. I was in competition. I was started swimming when I was about 10. I learned to swim when I was about 9 or 10 at the old Irene Kaufman Settlement Pool on Linton Street, which was right back of Center Avenue. And I was very good when I was young, and I began to win medals in competition. And the first one I won, I believe, was the Lillian Fresh Air Home in Valencia, PA, which was sponsored by the Kingsley House, which was then down on the corner of Bedford and Fulton Street, and later moved to East Liberty. It was very interesting when many, many years later I visited the Kingsley House, I found my name is a member of Kingsley House in 1918 or 19. When we paid like 25 cents a year or something like that. And I went to the Kingsley House meeting with Max Rogal, who was then very active at the Y. As a matter of fact, I think he was president at the time, but we both went there. It was a meeting of some kind, and I saw my name listed there.
Now, when you were winning medals as a child in swimming, in those days, were there coaches or teachers, or how did you happen to do this?
No, we had no coaches. As a matter of fact, I was what you call a little water rat. I was very, very adept and very, I was just at home in the water. It was natural. And I was a breaststroke swimmer, and I swam through grade school, and we swam down at the old pool down there on Fifth Avenue. It's near the Mercy Hospital. I forgot the name of the school. And then, of course, when I went to Ralston as the athletic director, or the phys ed director, he couldn't swim, and so he asked me if I wouldn't take charge of the team and coach them, which I did. I coached my high school team.
You know, at the Ralston Industrial School, they had swimming teams.
Yeah, all the schools had swimming teams, and they had inter-school competition. And so I coached the team at that time. You know, and I received a certificate for it. But then I became very interested in water safety and life saving. Because in 1924, belonging to the Irene Kaufman Settlement, we put on an acrobatic exhibition at a place called Edgewater on Labor Day. And in the Labor Day morning, I couldn't sleep, you know, everybody. And those were the days of prohibition. And, of course, there was more drinking then than there was without prohibition, and the boys were up all night. And so early in the morning, I was walking along the beach at Edgewater, and there were three men out there in the river. One was drowning, and the other two were trying to hold him up, and they let him go. And some people yelled for me, "Hey, kid, go get him." So I dove in with a new hat on that my mother had just bought for me. And I approached him, and he tried to grab me. I remember swimming around to the rear of him, and I pulled him in. By that time, the crowd gathered, and so I was the hero for the day, and the post sun gave me a medal. And as a result of that, the captain of the guards asked me if I wouldn't come back next year as a, as an assistant mascot. The mascot was a boy by the name of Jackie Heller. Now, you may have heard the name. Jackie was quite a singer and a track star. And he was the mascot. So in 1925, I became the assistant mascot. And then when Jackie went with the Davis, who was it, the group came in of the young amateurs and singers, I became the mascot in 1926. So I was in life-saving, and I took my junior life-saving test in 1925. And 2 years ago, the American National Red Cross gave me a 50-year service pin because in all those years I've been active in water safety and life-saving with the Red Cross. Today, I'm water safety chairman for the American National Red Cross in this chapter.
During your adolescent years, did you do anything else for fun and recreation besides swim?
Well, in school I played soccer, I played basketball, and of course I was always busy. I always had odd jobs. I delivered papers when I was a young kid, maybe 9 or 10, up and down Center Avenue. I used to go out and buy 5 papers for 3 cents and then make 6 or 8 cents and give it to my mother. And then I worked down on Logan Street, the old Logan Street, and I'd work with some of the hucksters in the back of the wagons and do that. And then when I was 12 or 13, I worked for a printing shop on Fulton Street. I was a printer's devil, that was owned by a fellow called Kaufman, no relation. And I used to melt all the lead, clean all the presses, all the rolls on the presses. And then when I left him, I worked for Seiger Printing Company on Miller Street. There was a girl there by the name of Sue Seiger, who was quiet as a singer, if I remember. And there was a Mr. Litz. One of the girls was married to Mr. Litz, who owned the New York Hat and Cap Company on Fifth Avenue. So I did the same work there. I cleaned the presses and so forth. And then when I was about 16 in the summertime, 15 or 16, I don't remember this. I worked for New York Hat and Cap Company as a stockroom boy on Fifth Avenue. So I've had odds, and oh yes, when I was about 10 years old, there was a synagogue on Webster Avenue, which is, there was a stable there at one time. Now there's a synagogue, which is now taken over as a church. But in that stable there, I used to take all the big draft horses from Fifth Avenue when I was about 10 years old, take them all the way down to Kilpatrick Street, down to Center Avenue, right near where the Penn Overall Company is now, and take the horses down there because they use the draft horses to pull the wagons. One day I took them down to Center Avenue and something scared one horse and all four horses went off in different directions. And I'm standing all alone. But I did that, you know, I used to make a few extra pennies.
Very busy. Okay, let's now go up, talk about your courtship and marriage. Then on June 1st, we
were engaged on my birthday, January 1st, 1930, and we thought we would wait a year. But when I was working at the settlement, you know, it seemed peculiar as I think about it. Whatever I earned, I used to give to my mother. I mean, if I needed anything, she gave it to me. I never felt the money was that important. And we were going to, when we got engaged in 1930, we figured we had a year, but we were young and excitable, and you know how youngsters are. So we got married June 1st, and I was just 20, and so was Sarah at that time, just 20.
Where were you married?
We were married here in Pittsburgh at the Russian Shul on Miller Street. The wedding was scheduled for 1, but you've heard of Jewish weddings. The bride didn't get there till 2, and they're waiting for a brother who got tied up, and he didn't get to till 3, and the wedding, I don't think, started till 4. It's a true story, because I always often used to kid my wife, and I should have...
Must have been a basket case.
Yeah, I should have got... I remember Mr. and Mrs. Teller came, he was the executive director at the settlement, and finally they left. So...
Where did you first set up housekeeping?
Well, we set up housekeeping, it was on Protectory Place. And I remember after the wedding ceremony, there were some empty rooms that my brother-in-law had, and we had long tables, and they had corned beef sandwiches, and that was right in the heart of the Depression. No one had any jobs, and things were very bad. I think we received one wedding present from a brother, and that was it. And I was probably the only one in the family working, and I was making $100 a month. And that was 1930.
Do you have any, do you remember how much your rent was, or did you?
I think the rent was, maybe $35. I'm not sure, really. Mm-hmm.
So you were working at the time that you were married?
Yeah.
At the Ikes?
I was there in Calvin Settlement, and I was there from 1930 to 1938. In June 1938, I was called by the county to see if I had, it was the year of the sesquicentennial, and they asked me if I could consider or think about putting on a water show at the North Park Pool. At that time, the NYA was doing a show at the South Park called the Western Gateway, in which Gene Kelly participated. The NYA couldn't think or dream up anything about a water show. They wanted to do something in North Park, and I'd been doing a lot of pageant work, and I had been writing pageants, and I had been writing for a nationally known swimming magazine every month, a column, and I'd been going to school to Pitt, and I was getting credits, and so I talked with the county people about the water show, and I came home that night, and I did the whole synopsis, the whole layouts for the show outside of the script, and so about 4 o'clock in the morning I brought it back, and they accepted it, so I got a leave of absence from the Iron Cotton Settlement, and we started to work in June, and we had girls and boys coming for rehearsal from all parts of Allegheny County. We used county trucks, and we gave them car fare, and we rehearsed at Holland Park Pool, and we had dancing acts and singing acts, and the show, we rehearsed for about 3 months, and we put the show on in North Park, Labor Day week, for 7 straight nights to an audience of 250,000 people with a cast of 400. It was the largest water show ever held in the world. And Billy Rose had some of his emissaries coming down from Cleveland. He heard about it to see what it was like. And they asked me whether I would consider going with Billy Rose, and I turned it down because Mr. Kane, the county commissioner, offered me a job as assistant recreation director for the county parks, which I accepted under the late Ben Giffen. Ben Giffen was a well-known sports figure and an attorney in Pittsburgh.
Now, you said that you, while you were working for the Ikes, you were going to school?
Yeah, I was going to Pitt, and I was taking courses and trying to get credits. And I took a course, a number of courses, and I've got quite a few credits at Pitt. And my one completed course, I completed a course on industrial safety engineering at the University of Pittsburgh, which I received, my certificate on that. And then later on, of course, I took courses in the Graduate School of Social Work when I was working at the YMHA. But I've been doing a lot of writing, a lot of articles on swimming, on water games, and I have copyrighted material on water games and swimming stunts.
When did you begin to work as the assistant recreation director of the county park
system? That was in September of 1938. And then in January of 1939, I was promoted to recreation director for Allegheny County Parks. And I was the recreation director, and we developed one of the first programs in the country on free learn-to-play activities. Free learn to play golf, tennis, and even down to horseshoe pitching and archery. We were the ones